So let's read that together, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read out of the King James Bible. You follow along, please, in whichever translation you have. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the expressed design of God's love, and he came for all mankind. Okay, this lesson is going to be a question and answer segment, and let me explain it. I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to answer it with the scripture. But the question is to cause us to think. It's to cause us to ponder and to listen to the scripture that answers the question. So let's turn first to Philippians chapter 3. I'll tell you the title of the message in a minute. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 14 out of the New King James Bible. And it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. How many of us can still say we want to know him? That there is more that we are to learn and grow in Christ. Paul says here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Today's lesson is pressing toward the mark. We're honing in on verses 13 and 14. In the King James Bible, verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to those verses in the Voice translation. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but there's one thing I am doing. I'm leaving my old life behind. I'm putting everything on the line for this mission. I am sprinting toward the only goal that counts, to the cross, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Christ Jesus, the Anointed. Now, what does it mean to press? There are different transversions or definitions, but specifically for this lesson, according to Strong's, the word press means to eagerly seek after, to earnestly endeavor to acquire, to pursue as in a hostile manner, to go after something. In a race, it's to get to the goal, to run swiftly to catch a person or a thing. Now, here comes the question and answer segment. How many of us really believe that God saved us not just to take us home to heaven. That there is a specific or definite purpose, goal, destination, reason why we are here in the earth. So we believe, we know that we didn't just get saved so we could make it to heaven, right? Because if that were the case, we would have gone to heaven by now, right? Why would he keep us here if there was nothing for us to do in the earth? So we do believe that there is a purpose, a destination, a goal, or a mark that we are aimed for. Amen? The answer, turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, out of the New King James Bible, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." How many of you have heard love God? To those who are called. How many of you have been called? And if you've accepted Christ, you have been called. That's not talking about a calling to ministry. It's talking about the call to salvation. According to his purpose. Does it say my purpose? Does it say your purpose? It says whose purpose? So obviously God had a reason for calling us. In the Amplified Bible, that version says, "We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good." How many things? Did it say every good thing works together? So that tells me that even when stuff happens, and how many of us know stuff happens, things come up, sometimes there are disappointments, sometimes there are delays, sometimes life has issues, and we get caught in the middle of it. But this scripture says, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. To and for those who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. What does that word purpose mean? It means the aim or the goal of a person. It is something, a destination that is set up as an object to be attained, to be determined. It is an intention or a resolution. So God determined, he intended, he resoluted, if that's a word, forgive me if it's not, but it was his resolution that we would reach a certain end here on the earth, not just getting to heaven. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. Out of the New King James Bible says, and again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to his son, Timothy. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose." Now we can substitute and say he's called us according to his own determination, his own aim, his own goal, his own resolution. In other words, God had a plan in mind when he had us birthed into the earth. Do you believe that? Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. We are not here just to go, as Pastor Clinton used to say, skipping through the tulips. And everything is supposed to be just us lolling around and having the abundant, wonderful life. Yes, we're to live in the abundant life that God created for us to have. But there is a designated goal, a specific purpose that God designed and created every single one of us in the body to fulfill. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The Amplified Bible says, and this is God speaking, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So God is speaking to our future, meaning we must be heading somewhere. Because if he's talking about our future, then that's not where we currently are. God sees the end from the beginning. So when he looks at us, he sees us in our end. He sees us heading to that destination. He sees us reaching the mark. He's equipped us to do it. And then he, by the Holy Spirit, walks us through the journey. Next question. Now, we all said we know that we're here for a specific purpose, right? That God has a specific purpose for every one of our lives. Next question. How many of you would say that while you are walking out this purpose or aiming towards the mark that God has set you for, you have either had or you are currently facing opposition, discouragement, adversity, disappointments, delay, frustration in fulfilling or accomplishing God's purpose for your life? Anybody but me? Let's be real, family. God already knows it. Now, here comes the answer. Turn, please, to Acts 27. So we know that God called us to a specific purpose, that there is a destination that he's aiming us for. But according to Scripture, we're going to see that God knows about the adversity and the opposition and all the other stuff that comes along as we're on this journey. In Acts chapter 27, this is picking up on the Apostle Paul, who is a prisoner bound for Rome. Now, this is the Apostle Paul who God called, right? But God said somewhere between Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 10 that he was going to show Paul the things that he must suffer for the call that God placed on his life. So God had already told Paul, brother, you're going to go through some things. So we're going to pick it up here while he's actually on the ship. They're telling the story of this ship ride going to Rome. Now, just as a backdrop, in Acts chapter 25, verse 11, Paul was before King Agrippa, and he was pleading his case because they falsely accused him of speaking against the Jewish law. And Paul was pleading his case before King Agrippa, and he said, I didn't do anything to offend the Jewish law. But yet Paul's purpose, Paul's goal, God's determination for him was to get him to Rome. So Paul then, in verse 11 of chapter 25, appealed to Caesar. He wanted Caesar to hear his case. Where was Caesar? Say it like you believe it. Caesar was in Rome. Now, it's interesting. In Acts 26, verse 32, King Agrippa is talking to Festus, another leader in that district. And he says about Paul, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So in other words, in the natural, Paul could have been freed if he hadn't said, I need to go to Rome. But because he said, I need to go to Rome, which was God's destination, he had to stay a prisoner. Talk about walking out God's purpose for your life. So we're picking up verse 13 through 20, and I'm reading this out of the Voice translation. One day, a moderate south wind began to blow, which made an attempt possible. We weighed anchor and sailed west, staying near the shore. Then things got scary. Sound like adversity? A violent nor'easter blew down across Crete. We were caught. We couldn't turn and sail into this fierce wind, so we had no choice but to let it drive us. How many times you feel like the wind is pushing you? The wind of adversity, the wind of difficulty, the wind of disappointment. Sometimes it does feel like, Lord, this thing is buffeting me. Let's keep going. We briefly found a bit of shelter from the north wind near the island of Clauda. We had been having trouble securing the ship's lifeboat, but we were able there to hoist it up and send down cables to brace the hull, which was in danger of breaking apart under the stream of the storm. The wind was relentless, and soon we were again being driven southwest by the mercy of the storm. We feared, it would drive us all the way to the Syrtis banks, down near the North African coast. Verse 18, all through the night, the storm pounded us violently. The next day, the crew threw the ship's cargo overboard, and the day after that, they discarded any of the ship's equipment they could do without. Verse 20. Days passed without relief from the furious wind. So this wasn't an overnight storm. This was a long time storm going on. And I don't care what size boat you're in. When the waves and the winds are blowing on the sea, you're going to feel it. You're going to have some movement. It's going to look rocky and it's going to be shaky. But Paul says, days passed without relief from the furious winds, without a single break in the clouds to see sun or stars even for a moment. They were in darkness for days. Have you ever been in an environment where it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of you? And you quickly were feeling, looking for a light, for something to give you some guidance? Well, imagine being out on a sea for days in the dark. You can't even tell if it's 12 noon or 10 o'clock at night. It's totally dark. But yet this was Paul who was on assignment, God's determination, going towards the mark. Despair set in, as if all hope of rescue had been cast overboard as well. So they became despaired. It's like, God, what's going to happen to us now? Did you ever think that maybe in the midst of the assignment, in the midst of the adversity, in the midst of the difficulty, your natural inclination can be, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm heading in the direction you set for me. I'm in the relationship you've called me to be in. I'm serving in the church that you sent me to. I'm doing the job that you've called me to. I'm ministering to the people in my community. And why does it seem like there's darkness all around me? Why does it seem like there's lack and drought? Why does it seem that there's so much opposition? Let's now pick up in Acts, same chapter. We're reading verses 21 through 27. I'm still reading in the Voice translation. On top of all of this, the crew had been unable to eat anything because of the turmoil. They were just too upset to eat. Have you ever been stressed where the natural things just didn't matter to you anymore? And you just said, either I'm just not hungry or I don't sleep. Let's be real, family. Have you ever been in a situation or a time or a period in your life that it seemed like all natural reasoning just was gone? And you just said, God, I know that you're here, but I don't sense you. God, I don't know what's going on. I'm doing what you told me to do, Father, but it just doesn't seem like it's working out. Lord, you told me to do this. Lord, you sent me in this direction. And now you see what's happening. Let's pick up the story. Paul then says to the men, if you had listened to my warning, we would still be safe in Crete and would have avoided this damage and loss. I was correct in my warning, so I urge you to believe me now. None of you will die. They probably thought he was crazy. We will lose the ship, but we will not lose one life. So keep up your courage, men. The God I belong to, the God I worship, and I love this, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of that dark place, in the midst of what seems like dryness and drought and lack and opposition, God sends a word of encouragement. The God that I belong to, the God I worship, sent a heavenly message to me this night. He said, do not be afraid, Paul. I am not finished with you yet. You are going to stand before the emperor. That was God's direction all along. That was God's purpose for him all along. Get to Rome. Why? Because he needed Paul to declare the gospel of Jesus as the resurrection life to those in Rome. So then Paul says, you can be certain that God has granted safety to you and all of your companions. How many of us have had that when we've been in a dark time? We've been in a pressing time when it seems like there's been lack or drought or opposition, and we wanted and waited and wanted and waited. And when we least expected it, God sent his word of confirmation, stay steady. You're on the right path. I'm aiming you for a destination, and I know all about the adversity. I know all about the opposition. I know all about the persecution, and I will take you through it. Turn to James chapter 1, please. This is a scripture, if you're like me, when I was an immature Christian, help me, Lord. I didn't like this scripture very much. And when you get there, you'll understand why. But I now have come to appreciate it and understand it. James chapter 1, we're looking at verses 2 through 4. In the New King James Bible, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Count it all joy. I can laugh now. 20 years ago, I couldn't laugh when I read that. I was like, are you kidding me? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, and that means mature, complete, lacking nothing. Now let's listen to it in the voice translation. It brings it home. You ready? Take a deep breath. Let it out. Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. That'll preach. I'll say it again. Don't run from tests and hardships. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. And this is where the press is. The wind is coming at you, whatever that wind is. So it's buffeting you. And God says, press, lean into, move forward. Don't tip backwards. Why? Because as you press, lean into, as someone accomplishing a goal, you will find joy if you embrace them. Your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. Say endure. The adversities of life are not meant to take us out there to build up our endurance. They're to cause us to develop thick skin that we will withstand and we will overcome and we will not back down. Not because of who we think we are and our pedigree and our status, but because of the God we serve, who as a bullseye aimed us towards a mark and says, I will get you to that appointed destination. I know all about the winds of adversity. I know all about the persecution, but I rely on you to trust me and press your way into that wind and let me get you to that mark. I'm going to continue in the voice translation in James chapter 1. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line. How many of you have ever felt like just giving up? You just said, enough, God. I'm done. I believe on Wednesday night, we're going to pick this up on Wednesday. We're going to look at the life of at least one Old Testament prophet who came to that place of saying, I'm done. Enough. Take me home. But we're going to pick this up here. But if you stay with it, true patience, brought on by endurance, will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line. It will cause you to become mature, complete, and wanting or lacking nothing. Next question. So when you know that you are following after God's purpose, his intention and his determination for your life, and this includes your family, your job, your finances, your ministry, your school, any area of your life, you know that you are following the direction of God, that you are not rebelling and saying, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to move at my pace, and I'm going to move in my time, and no, I ain't going back there. but you know that you have submitted to the will of God and you are saying, Father, while my flesh and my mind don't like this, I'm yielding and doing what you've told me to do, the way you've told me to do it. I'm loving the way you've told me to love. I'm forgiving the way you've told me to forgive. I'm standing in patience the way you've told me to stand in patience. I'm praying the way you've told me to pray, and yet the oppositions are still coming. What do you do then? The answer. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 7 through 10, and I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Bible. And this is the Apostle Paul again. And he says, he had been talking about the great revelations that he had received by the Spirit of God, where he was caught up to the third heaven. And so he starts in verse 7 saying, because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. Sound familiar? How many of us have said, Lord, move this person? Lord, move me from this job? Lord, do something with this spouse? Lord, take care of these children. I'm done with them. Lord, I'm waiting a long time. I haven't seen the answer. Lord, do something. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my mercy are more than enough. He says, my loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. They are always available, regardless of the situation. God says, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your, you say the word. Come on, family. Weakness. Do you know that's a place of vulnerability? That's the place of total submission to say, God, I don't know. God, I can't handle it. God, I just don't got it. I just don't got it. But I know that you do. And so what I do, Father, I fall back into your grace. I fall back into your mercy. Because, Lord, I'm on your assignment. I'm doing what you've called me to do. And so I acknowledge that in my human ability and all of my logic and reasoning, I've pushed every button, I've pulled every lever, I've figured out A to Z, and I still come up with zero. So, Father, I trust you, Lord, that it must be you that's going to bring me through this. And listen to what God says. Paul says this here in 1 Corinthians 12. God said that his power is perfected and is completed and shows itself most effective in our weakness. This is Paul's response. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold and may dwell in me. Verse 10. So I am well pleased with weakness. How many of us are honest enough to say that? I didn't think so. I am well pleased with weakness, with insults and distresses and persecutions. I'm going to say it again because some of us are going to have to say this before we leave church today. I am well pleased with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when God's power kicks in. But as long as we're standing there trying to get it all together, as long as we're standing there saying, I got this, I know this, I can do this, I've been through this, this is nothing new, I've experienced this before, God says, go on with your bad self and stay over there. Because until we are willing to acknowledge, you know what? I don't know, Father. All I know is I'm doing what you've told me, Jesus. and all of this stuff is still coming, God. And he says, yes, and you're still on the right track. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And all of this is a part of pressing toward the mark. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 from the Amplified Bible. We ought always and indeed are morally obligated as those in debt to give thanks to God for you. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. Brothers and sisters, as it is fitting, because of your faith is growing ever greater, and the unselfish love of each other you show towards one another continually increases. He's commending them. Listen to verse 4. Therefore, we speak of you with pride among the churches of God for your steadfastness, your unflinching endurance and patience, and your firm faith in the midst of all the persecutions and crushing distress which you endure. He was commending them, bragging to the other churches that this church in Thessalonica was staying steadfast. They were unflinching, enduring, and patient in their faith. They were standing against persecution, distress, and they were enduring. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, out of the Amplified Bible. Now you have diligently followed my example, that is my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Verse 11. Persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Do you think Paul went through some stuff? But this was the one that was on God's assignment. God had told him what to do, and he followed God's direction. But yet he says to Timothy, his son in the faith, you know and diligently follow my example. So Timothy had to have seen and knew what Paul experienced, the sufferings, the persecutions, all that he went through at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But listen to this. But the Lord rescued me from them all. And God will do the same for every one of us. He is not a respecter of person. When you stay fast and do not move and will not let go of what God has called you to, God will deliver you from every work of persecution, every work of adversity. You may be thinking it's coming from the left and God's bringing it from the right. You may think it's coming from a man and God will drop it another way. However he does it, he is faithful to take care of his own. So he knows about the persecution. He knows about the adversity. He knows about the opposition. And yet he says, my grace is sufficient. As we are walking out, pressing toward the mark, an opposition comes, and it's going to come in various ways. Sometimes in people, there's attacks in health. Sometimes it's attacks in finances. Sometimes it's just the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's the strain in a marriage. Sometimes it's a job, maybe the loss of a job or situations with downsizing or relocating or any kind of issue that could come up in life that could be a wind of adversity. And we may say, okay, God, I know I'm doing what you told me to do. I know I'm going in the direction you told me to go in, but this ain't working. And so I don't need to do this anymore. And I'm going to use a term that we're all very familiar with. I'm not led to do this anymore. I'm going to say it a little louder. I'm not led to do this any longer. Unless you know that God has specifically told you to make a mid-course direction and change, unless you absolutely, firmly, resolutely know that God has said this is it for you, you're done with this, you need to learn how to press. We must develop some stick-to-itness, which means like crazy glue, we don't let go. Because if we can be so easily dismayed that we will let go in the time of opposition, how does God then get glory for us reaching the mark? And something Pastor Ed said recently that is so key. Sometimes our pressing is not for us. But there's others that are coming along in the way. And if we bail, we let go, we turn back, we give up, I just can't do this. I'm not feeling this anymore. It's not giving me warm fuzzies. I'm not happy about this, God. And he says, and do you think my son was at the cross? But he did not once say, I'm done. I'm giving up on this. This is too hard, Father. But he stuck to it to show us that we can do it too. And so we have to resolve in our spirit and our heart and make our mind firmly determined, I don't bail on getting to God's assignment. It may be longer than I want to deal with. It may require sacrifice and effort that I don't want to make. But God said that his grace is sufficient and he will cause me to manfully bear up under the pressure and the adversity. And I don't know whose life God wants to model by seeing me press toward the mark. I don't know what impact God will have on somebody else's life, whether in my job, whether in my home, whether in my community, whether the children, the grandchildren, by seeing you stay the course and not give up. But if they see us, the Christians, the blessed of God, the favored of God, always bailing, always giving up. Oh, I'm not led, I'm going over here. Oh, I'm not led, I'm going over here. Oh, I'm not led, I'm going over here. What does the world have to model after? The church is to be the example. We're not to follow their pattern. We are to be the light that gives them direction. But if we don't stay firm to the course, if we are bailing, what example do we show? When God first said to me, pressing toward the mark, what came to me was, how many of you have ever played darts? So there's a target, right? There's a board. And on that board, there are circles. And you're trying to get where? To the center, right? But sometimes if you're like me and you don't throw straight, you get all the way out there on that outer white rim. And it's like, okay, next dart, throw it again. But in our lives, when God says press toward the mark, he's talking about that center. But do you notice that there are circles around that circle going out? Let's use the life of Jesus as an example. Jesus' expressed purpose was to do what? What was his express purpose for God sending him to the earth? How was he supposed to redeem us? He had to go to the cross, right? So the cross is that center red, right? But as he was moving, pressing toward the mark, he healed the blind Bartimaeus. As he got a little closer, he turned the water into wine at Cana. As he moved a little closer, he raised Lazarus from the dead. As he moved a little closer, he taught about the principles of the kingdom of his father. As he got a little closer, he trained 12 men how to carry on the work when he was gone. What that depicts, family, is while there is an express purpose there, there are levels and degrees of assignments and tasks on our way to reach our destination. There are assignments that God gives each of us in our express determination. And if we fall or fail to handle the assignments, how do we reach the destination? Jesus knew that he must go to the cross, but on his way to the cross, he had to go through the adversity. Do you think it was fun for him? So he knows. He fully knows what we experience. And yet he says, my grace is sufficient. Family, like a dart that God has aimed towards a bullseye, that's what he's pointing us towards. But he's saying to us, I need you to stay faithful. I need you to stay committed, and I need you to press. I don't expect you to back up because my grace will hold you up. I don't expect you to give up because my grace will fill you up. I don't expect you to let go because my grace holds and keeps and sustains you. I've equipped you for the task at hand, but I expect you to press toward that mark. Hallelujah. We're going to unhook now. We'll pick up on Wednesday, looking at the life of at least one Old Testament prophet who came to a place of just saying, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Say this after me. I determine that I will reach the mark, the purpose God designed for me. I will not let disappointments, adversity, struggles, frustration cause me to falter. I will stay in my place, sustained by God's grace. I am a missile that God has launched to reach a destination. I will not be deterred. I will reach the mark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we said, Jesus' primary purpose was to go to the cross. And he did that so that all mankind would have relationship and access to the Father. That's the first step in reaching the mark, is accepting the free gift of salvation. So I will do this. In the event that there's someone here who has not ever accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've never prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer in faith with me, and at the end, you will be saved.